keep going here. And we are on number 9, 2373, in regards to Stephen Gilson, DVM. Tracy, if you'll read the front load.
Yes, December 1st, 2022, Diamond, a six-week-old female Australian Shepherd, was presented to respond due to lameness on the right front leg. Radiographs revealed two dislocated toes. On December 2nd, 2022, respondent anesthetized the dog to place a splint. The dog was discharged later that day with carbapenem and was instructed to recheck in 1 week. On December 10th, 2022, the dog was taken to the Scottsdale Veterinary Clinic for evaluation. The puppy was lethargic, not eating, and passing diarrhea. The bandage was removed and multifocal areas of necrosis and purulent discharge on the right front paw was found. The wounds were lavage. The fifth digit, third phalanx, was necrotic and removed. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to recommend the board ARS 3222221 as relates to R311502, H1, H3, L4, L7, D, and M134. And for H3 and L7D, the surgical monitoring sheet was provided after the investigative committee made recommendations to the board, which included the route of administration of propofol. And this motion was approved with a vote of 4-1, which Mr. Moore recused.
Okay, thank you. In this case, we do not have the respondent nor the complainant present. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yeah, this is a really unfortunate case. It does sound like the veterinarian was communicating more on a friend basis, and up until the dog wasn't doing well, it was doing really well, which can happen with puppies and bandages and all kinds of awful fun blow, which you can't see. And then just timing was off, and I mean, as far as what the investigative committee recommends, I agree with. It is record keeping, violation. So in this case, I would make a motion to offer a consent agreement.
Second.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Clarification. We're dropping H3, L7, the ones that are in bold. Or are you keeping those in?
Yeah, so if everybody agrees with that, I would propose amended removing H3. L7. D, just for the propofol, but not for the butorphanol, because that was
right.
Not documented.
Right.
Yeah, but just those modifications.
Second.
Okay. So I would strongly disagree. I believe this is a case of no good deed will go unpunished.
I don't disagree.
It's all on the owner.
Well,
anything that went wrong.
No, and I was talking about the medical record.
And the medical
record, yes.
So I would think more appropriate would be a medical records violation that has no minor records violations. The routine entries in medical records do not affect diagnosis or care of the animal, because it didn't. And I'd be more leaning toward that or a letter of concern, but I wouldn't do all of these at all.
Thoughts from others?
Well, I think we have a motion and
okay.
A second on to offer a consent agreement. So if you'd like, we can take a vote on that unless
okay. You'd
like to withdraw it.
I just want you to know what my vote would be.
I do hear you, and I did look at that. I guess part of me, and I don't know if I have to get further down into it, but I do want to know if there's been other violations. I know I want to offer a consent agreement. I'm not interested in a letter of concern. Not because I don't agree with you that no good deed goes unpunished, because that was, to me, very clear here, especially with the follow-up, right? And puppies are miserable to have to bandage, and this puppy had dislocated toes, which I'm sure, you know, there's a whole story with that.
There's a couple of things that concern me on this case that wasn't addressed in the investigative committee. I kind of disagree with the fact that the owner put some tape on the outside of the splint, that was a problem and caused the toes to have pressure. You'd have to take that tape over a spoon splint and crank it down. I don't even know if you could do it. So applying a little tape to the outside of a damaged splint didn't bother me at all. And there was no discussion, nor was there anything in the record about the details of the application of the splint. And the progression of this sounds very much what you see, and I've dealt with numerous times, with pressure necrosis that can occur due to swelling after the application, or a bandage that's too tight. And this is exactly the progression. After a few days, the dog starts chewing at it because it hurts like heck. Now, puppies can be puppies. How do we tell? But there was nothing in the record about the details of the splint, and there was no discussion of that. So it's probably something we can't really evaluate, but I just wanted to bring that up, that this is possible an incorrect application of the splint.
And if it had been anybody else, they would have brought it back in, right? I mean, immediately when it's torn up, because he told them, okay, ideally it's going to be in 5 days or 7 days, but if something happens in between now and then, bring it back in, we'll change it. I mean, that was the instructions. Bring it back, we'll change it. But he never even talked to the owner.
Right.
I mean, he's going through his technician, who is a friend of the owner.
Right.
So, I mean, he has no clue what's coming. Right? I mean, it truly is that, you know, that old cliche, you do a favor for somebody, you're going to get screwed. And he did.
Okay. So, Nikki, can you restate what your motion is?
Do you want the proposed findings of fact too, or just?
No,
I was just going to make a motion to offer a consent agreement with the amended changes.
Okay, let's go ahead and we have a second. Yes. So let's go ahead. Should we do a voice vote or? Okay, we'll do a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so motion passes.
Okay, so I would make a motion to accept the proposed findings of fact as amended with the changes. Do you want me to just list off what we're finding then?
Well, I think you, in your previous motion, you captured the changes.
Okay.
So you just adopted the IC report.
Okay, so accept the proposed conclusions of law as amended, and then could I get any previous violations
vote on the findings of facts? You've incorporated the findings of facts.
Yeah, accept the proposed findings of facts as amended and the proposed conclusions of law.
Thanks.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay. Okay.
And now we can hear.
So Dr. Gilson, in 2001, he was offered a consent agreement and paid a civil penalty of $50 for failure to renew his license. In 2005, he was issued a letter of concern. This was after receiving an anonymous complaint citing several allegations regarding the clinic and its conditions. In 2005, he was issued a letter of concern for communications. In 2005, again, he was issued a letter of concern due to allegations of an employee, a respondent filling a prescription in error, and the board opened the case as a premise violation. In 2007, we had a case where he was issued a letter of concern, and it was alleged that respondent made false statements to the board during a prior investigation. In 2008, he was issued a letter of concern regarding communications.
So for the consent agreement, I would make a recommendation for continuing education, 5 hours in medical record keeping.
I'm sorry, did you state, I didn't hear the subject matter.
Medical record keeping?
Record keeping, okay.
And that to use the boilerplate for the consent agreement, it'll move to an informal if not signed. This one says within 35 days. And then a CE plan within 60.
Probation, 1 year?
Oh, 1 year, sorry.
Any fine?
I don't recommend.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, great. I have a second on that. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. All right, we're done with that one. Is everyone good to keep going? We are on number 10-2374 in regards to Melissa Johnson, DVM. Tracy will read the summary.
Case 2374, the complainant is Justin Monger, the respondent is Melissa Johnson, DVM. On January 5th, 2022, Fumble, a 7-year-old male Yorkshire Terrier, was presented to respond for a dental procedure. The dental procedure was performed and the dog was discharged a short time later after recovery. On the way home, complainant called to report the dog was unresponsive. Complainant's daughter was instructed to return to the premises or the closest veterinary facility for evaluation. The dog was presented to Banfield. CPR was performed but was unsuccessful. And the complainant is the pet owner's stepfather. The committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, thank you. The respondent is not here, but Mr. Stoll.
Monitoring only.
Okay, and we have no complainant. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, so with this case, it's heartbreaking for the owners, right? This poor little guy passed away on his way home. I did have a couple of questions as far as the care of the pet. I mean, the anesthesia aspects of it looked fine. I guess for me, the area of concern was the fact that they discharged the pet within 40 minutes of waking up from anesthesia. And from what I could gather from the IC, it doesn't seem like the DVMs check patients prior to being discharged. And so I guess I inherently have a little bit of a problem with that, but I'm not sure that falls under the statute. So
right, this is where it's
yeah.
We have come to the meeting today.
Yes. Because I can't find
a dog that weighs 6 pounds, mm-hmm. and blood work declined and. Necropsy
was declined, and so we don't know exactly what had happened. I'm tending to lean with the IC for no violation unless someone can help me identify one that's there. I mean, again, this isn't necessarily how I would have approached the case if it was mine, but we have to work within the rules that we have.
Minimum standard of care. Yeah, I have written down exactly the 2 points you came up with, the 40-minute discharge and the DVM not being involved, and that whole scenario about how that discharge was done. So it's hard for me to find a violation in this, but I certainly would recommend a letter of concern.
Any other discussion?
It's tough because our statutes, our administrative rules address anesthesia, not the post, like the recovery part.
Right.
You know, like it doesn't address after they're extubated, and we've had several cases like this, at least over the years that I've been here, where it's like,
right,
you know, they're extubated and.
Yeah, I mean, as a side note, there isn't a documentation of when the pet was extubated. It was noted when it was, but when it wasn't, but that's a minor note infringement.
Not so minor.
So I guess I would make a motion to find no violation, but offer a letter of concern about post-op care and dismissal of patients after anesthesia.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to offer a letter of concern in the case of Melissa Johnson, DVM.
Madam Chair, can I ask more level of detail, specifically that a doctor should monitor the pet before it's discharged?
Yes, so the letter of concern to address the releasing of pets post anesthesia, that the pet should be evaluated. It's recommended the pet be evaluated by a doctor prior to being discharged.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, there's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, the motion passes. Okay, now we are on case, or number 11, 23-129, in regards to Kayla Garrard, CVT. Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
There's, with these cases, there's an investigative memorandum. So with Ms. Garrard, she is the only one out of the three that it has a son of an active CBT certification. She hasn't responded to any of the letters that went out with respect to trying to attempt to collect the issuance fees. Really, that's only $25. I did contact her in place of employment. They said they would give her the message, but the person I spoke with wasn't really 100% sure if she did work there or not. But I never got a call back. So I just have received no communication from Ms. Garrard. Any attempt, emails, phone calls, letters.
Okay. Well, and obviously she's not present today. Mr. Lohe, you are the lead on all three.
Quick question for counsel. If the license is lapsed, but there's a violation, we still have jurisdiction, right?
So long as we've notified them of the complaint prior to the expiration of the certificate of license.
I don't think, because it would have expired 12/31/2022.
Yeah, but we notified them before then that they owed those fees.
If we did.
They had been notified about the fees. Yeah. I'm not sure about the case.
The case wasn't open until.
But not the case? Or they have to know about the case?
If the statute reads a complaint has been opened and they've been notified, not that. You know, just simply that they receive like an invoice or a statement reminding them that, you know, they still owe them the application fee. So there is a distinction there, and it sounds like, you know, in this case we might not have notified them until after the fact, which I think we probably, I mean, it may probably make sense. We wouldn't have until it became an issue. But I think, you know, they're certainly, you know, and again, I don't know if they're reachable, but for those that may have expired, we can certainly try to send them a letter just indicating to them what they did and that, you know, should they ever reapply, this may be something that we're going to revisit.
How would we memorialize it so that it would be revisited when they reapply?
Yeah, I think it would be, you know, a dismissal with a letter to them and just stating that in the letter and then putting it in their file, and then administratively, I don't know if there's any way to connect, you know, if they should submit a new application 2 years from now.
Yeah, it would go into our database.
Okay.
So even though the paper file retention would be gone, likely, we would still have the information in the database.
Right, because there would be a complaint, because a complaint was opened and it's under, it's memorialized underneath their certification that they've had a complaint, that the board dismissed it, issued a letter of concern, and that if there was any other.
Yeah, it really wouldn't be a letter of concern because we didn't retain jurisdiction. The complaint is noticed after.
Well, except for this one, she is still.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this one is different because she's still active, yeah.
Okay.
So then are we offering a?
So on the first one, the one that's active. Okay, unpaid issuance fee, and so I'm going to find, move that we find the findings of fact in the investigation memorandum as our findings of fact and conclusions of law. Or I guess you don't have conclusions of law on there. Findings of fact.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
So I move to find violations of errors 32, 22, 50, 2, and 4, non-payment of issuance and delinquency fees as relates to R 311-105B 3 and 5, and ARS 32-22-47 as it relates to R 311-607A1A, no residence address, and a work phone.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
All right, so I'm going to move that we offer a consent agreement signed within 15 days of receipt or move to formal. A stayed suspension until all fees and civil penalties are paid. Civil penalty of $50 plus issuance and delinquency fees paid within 60 days, that's $100 total.
Okay.
Can I say the violation piece again for, or the civil penalty piece?
A penalty of $50. You add in the issuance and the delinquency fees that are already owed, pay those all within 60 days. $100 total.
Does that sound okay, Victoria?
Yes.
Okay. Any further questions, comments?
I have one quick question. You said stayed suspension until fees are paid?
Yeah, because so far there's no communication.
Okay.
Right?
So but that when she pays her fees, we lift the stay and she's suspended?
Okay.
Is that what I'm hearing? Or am I misunderstanding?
So this is just a, first of all, it's a consent agreement.
Yeah.
And if you want to suspend her license, her certificate. You would put that in there, and then you could stay it subject to the successful completion of the terms, meaning timely payment of the money.
But when you lift the stay, doesn't that mean the suspension goes into effect?
Yes. So I would amend my CA to suspend until the fees are paid. And then, no? What counsel just said?
If you said it the right suspend way. It, what we can do is you can offer the consent agreement. The terms would be that her certificate is suspended and she needs to pay this, but you can stay the suspension subject to the timely payment within the 60 days or whatever we just talked about. Okay. And if she doesn't timely pay it, then her certificate goes on suspended status until such time as she does.
Okay.
So moved. So amended.
Okay. And a second on that?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye. Or roll call. Sorry. Victoria.
Ms. Prager.
Aye.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Mr. Logie.
Aye.
Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
Dr. Thompson.
Aye.
Motion passed.
Okay, so we've completed that one. Now we are on to 23-130 in regards to Beatrice Vargas Soto, CBT. Again, same situation, unpaid fees,
think she's lapsed.
But she's lapsed.
Yes.
So go ahead and take it away, Mr. Lowhees.
So in 2330, in this case, since it is lapsed, I'm going to move that we dismiss. Can we dismiss with prejudice? No?
You only have one kind of dismissal.
Okay. So I'm going to move that we dismiss 23130 and add a letter to the file that a issuance fee is owed, a delinquency fee is owed, and it was dismissed because it was lapsed or we would have taken action.
Yeah, and then if you want to, you know, include in that letter that should they ever reapply, that this is something.
Yes,
that
should they ever reapply, all those factors need to be considered.
Thank you.
Okay.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 23130. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. The last one here is 23132 in regards to Brianna Carey, CBT. Again, the same story. Mr. Lowhees, you are the lead.
And I'm going to do the same motion with the exact same wording.
Okay.
Second.
Here a second. Okay, a motion and a second. Just like the previous case to dismiss. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, keep going a little bit here if everybody's okay. We are on number 14, 23139, in regards to Mark Caldwell, DBM. Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Yes, this case is a straight to the board case. Let's see, case 23139, the respondent is Marvin Russolo and the respondent is Mark Caldwell, DBM. On April 18, 2023, complainant made an appointment with the respondent for his two cats, Butter and Sammy. A deposit was provided for the appointment that was scheduled for April 20th, 23. On April 19, 2023, complainant emailed to advise that his cat Butter had passed away but still wanted to have Sammy examined. Complainant requested an estimate for an ear clean and treatment. Staff could only give an estimate for the ear cleaning and explain that the treatment cost could vary depending on the recommended treatment. On April 20th, 23, respondent and technical staff arrived to complainant's home to evaluate Sammy. After examining the cat, the complainant was presented with a treatment plan. Complainant became angry regarding the fees and respondent explained that the complainant had a credit to his account which could be applied to the treatment plan. Complainant yelled for respondent and staff to leave his home and slammed the door. Respondent and staff packed up and left the complainant's home. Complainant was refunded the fees for Butter, the cat that had passed away. And this was brought directly to the board for your review and consideration. And on Monday, the respondent did submit some additional emails for your review that the complainant had sent him.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. We do not have the complainant nor the respondents present. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yeah. House calls are scary.
Apparently.
I would file charges against this person if I were the veterinarian. But to me, they did everything right. They had a no refund policy. They did, which was the compassionate thing to do because the other kitty had passed away. But even if he slammed the door in their face, they still weren't required to issue a refund. So unfortunately, he set this up himself, and I'm glad nobody was hurt. So I would make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second.
Just a quick notation. The respondent terminated the VCPR.
Yes.
Yes.
The harassing still continues.
Pardon?
But the harassment still continues.
Yes.
Okay. There's no further discussion. All those in favor of dismissing case 23139 say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next up, number 15, 23140 in regards to Ivory Wildflower DVM. Please note that Dr. Thompson is recused on this one. And Tracy, you'll read the case summary.
Sure.
This case is a straight divorce case as well. The board had opened up this case after, on April 19th, 2023, the board had opened up this investigation after premises inspections conducted at Brown Valley Community Vet Clinic. So I brought it straight back to you for your review and consideration after Dr. Wildflower responded. And yesterday she did submit some additional information, which is in the packet.
Okay, we do not have the respondent present, and Mr. Lohi, you are the lead on this one again.
So question for staff, was Dr. Wildflower the responsible veterinarian in the previous?
Yes.
She was, okay. 2019, that is going to alter me from three strikes you're out to two strikes. Okay, so I would offer or find the staff memos and the inspection document as our findings of fact.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes.
All right, so I did not, I was going in a different direction, so I did not properly do this. So I'm going to move we find a violation of record keeping. Feel free to jump in if you know which one that is.
21.
There we go. ARS 3222-3221, failure to maintain adequate records of veterinary services provided as it relates to
I-311-502.
Anything on 502 in there about the controlled?
Okay.
So moved.
Okay. You hear a second?
Second. Is that K two and three?
Yes.
A motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so I would move we offer consent agreement with 1 year probation signed within 15 days, removes to informal. $500 civil penalty. And 3 hours in medical records, 3 hours in controlled substances.
Second.
Any thoughts to having potentially a one-time practice monitor? We don't have to keep going back as the...
I would support that because we've already, in 4 years, there's been little to no improvement.
Are we just finding the controlled drug log violations? Is that what we got?
Sure. And medical records.
And records.
Okay.
Because typically, the practice monitor, there would be more violations.
Oh yeah, it was what it was the memo, right? The staff memo that you were finding as a fact.
Staff memo and the inspection itself.
Because that cited medical records.
And expired products, whatever.
Typically, we would look at the repeat violations that you would find a violation about the ones that have been repeated.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in modifying that motion to include, since there's been, was no inventory, a controlled substance log on the premise, to report that to DEA? Direct staff to report it to DEA?
I don't think we need to have to put that part of a motion. I think we just do that.
Just do it, okay.
So the only thing, I wasn't looking at a practice monitor right away is, I don't know what we did in 2019. Did we just say to come back and redo another inspection?
Yeah.
So this is the first time we're taking any action.
Correct.
So I'd say before we try to have to go that extra step to a practice monitor, we see what re-education camp and a civil penalty.
Civil penalty, okay.
So you were citing 21-502K2 and 3. Were you also concerned with the other medical record issues as cited in the investigative division report as far as L7 and H3? Most, if not all, medications that were noted in the records were missing concentrations and eating consistency, noting route of administration, and heart rate, respiratory rate.
Yes, so I'd add that. R3-11-5-0, 2L7, R3-11-502-K2, we already got that one in there.
H3,
consistency.
And the cleanliness one?
Oh. Which one?
The cleanliness. 703-4, 703 number 4, for the facility not being in clean condition. Two times in a row.
So 3, number 4, yes.
That would not be 21 though. That would probably be a 74. I'm going to leave the premises.
Oh.
There's also expired pharmacy items.
We just take the proposed findings of fact and we come our findings of fact from that year.
Okay, so that would be 3222-74-2 as it relates to R311-703-4. The only one, I did sell one that's stuck out here because it's a product that I've used a lot of. And I agree and admonish people about this all the time. Drugs must be stored per manufacturer's requirements, but I really don't think keeping Naxil on the fridge unconstituted is an issue or a problem. It's not gonna hurt the product. It's not gonna degrade the product. It's unneeded. Unnecessary, but it's not. It's better than being at 80 degrees. But yeah, as a general rule, if it says keep it cold, keep it cold. If it says keep it room temperature, keep it room temperature. The sun stuff is actually better cold. Or cooler is the better option than a little on the warm side.
That was a new one, though.
Yeah. So the ones in the IDR, I think I put in there for is that were multiple infractions or potential violations.
Yeah.
J2, there were some expired pharmacy items. And I think you had already addressed the others.
We're clear on that. We have the civil penalty. Did you do CE as well?
Mm-hmm. 3 and 3.
You can have it, if we're going to, I'm going to keep the controlled substance at 3, but do 4 hours on the record keeping.
Does that include?
And that could include record keeping and office management.
Practice management?
Practice, office, whatever you gotta do to help yourself, figure out that expired stuff has to be taken care of, not just left on the shelf.
Okay, anything else to add or any other discussion?
Were you including the expired pharmacy items, J2, and the consent agreement as a violation?
Yes.
Would, Ms. Phillippe, would you accept for the practice management piece, maybe inventory? They have great inventory CE about storage, handling, rotation.
FIFO, first in, first out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's not commonly understood a lot by practice owners.
Yes, I would amend it to include inventory.
It just might give her some direction, you know, and it's widely available.
Okay. All right, so with all that, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
What did I forget? Oh, and if not signed within
15 days
of receipt, goes to informal.
Okay. Second.
Were you recommending another premises inspection or anything to do with the cleanliness?
Do we have to put that in motion? We could just direct staff to go back?
Correct. Yes. It doesn't have to be in the
CE. It doesn't. So I got two directions for staff when we get done.
All right. Should we make Mr. Lemmy repeat all that?
So we got the incentives.
Okay. Should we do roll call on it or?
Yeah. Yes, roll call.
Okay. Victoria, can you do roll call on that for us?
Ms. Crager.
Aye.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Mr. Lemke.
Aye.
Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
Dr. Thompson.
Is it recused?
Recused.
Okay.
All right. So I'd also request staff schedule another surprise or random premise inspection in the next 12 months and what was the other one?
Report to DEA.
And report to DEA the lack of a controlled substance log.
All right. We're done there. Come on back in. Would you guys finish up the last two, or should we go ahead and break and move on to? So number 16-23-141 regards to Samuel Hollister to DM. Tracy, if you will read the summary.
Yes, this was a straightforward case 23-141. The complainant was the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Samuel Hollister to DM. The April 19th, 2023 Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened investigation regarding respondent's conduct with respect to timely renew his veterinary license while continuing to practice veterinary medicine.
Okay, and we do not have Dr. Hollister present today, and Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to offer a consent agreement, finding this fact as stated in the staff letters to Dr. Hollister and finding a violations of ARS 32-22-18 as it relates to R311-204D and a $100 fine for each month of practicing without a license, which would be a total fine of $300 and 1 year probation if not signed within 15 days. Return for too informal.
Usually with a civil penalty, you would just do pay within 60 days and no probationary period, but just pay within the 60-day time frame.
Okay. Okay, no probation period and pay within 60 days.
Okay.
So amended.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Offer a consent. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Appreciated his letter for what that's worth. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. All right, last one, number 17-23-145 in regards to Carolyn Hogan, DVM. Tracy, the summary.
Yes, case 23-145, the complainant was Noelle Jasmine Griffin. The respondent is Carolyn Hogan, DVM. On April 7, 2023, Daisy, a 13-week-old female boxer mix, was presented to respondent's premises for a splint change and evaluation of the left hind limb fracture. The splint was changed and the dog was discharged.
The dog was presented weekly for splint changes. According to complainant, on two occasions, the dog's splint fell off the day after being placed. It was determined that respondent did not see or treat the dog. Complainant was made aware that respondent was not involved in the care of the dog. Complainant submitted a letter of apology to respondent and the board for filing a complaint against the law.
Okay, thank you. And we do not have the complainant. We do have Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring
for the respondent. And then Ms. Solomon, you're
yes. I move that we dismiss case 23-145 with no violation.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to dismiss case 23-145.
Is anybody else confused about what animal? Because it mentions a dog in the complaint, but a cat's the animal that died.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, so they were distraught over the loss of their other pet, which led them to not apparently think as clearly on how they should handle the situation with their dog, which led to the inappropriate complaint.
Right. Yes, right. I was also a little
because I think this is the first time I wrote down in my notes, wrong veterinarian, wrong animal.
But also kudos to the complainant for recognizing that and reaching out
to the situation. That was very nice that they actually apologized and
yes.
if they could have withdrawn it, they would have withdrawn it. And it's gone, right?
Yes.
We're dismissing it.
Very good. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. We're gonna take a 5-minute break.
Doing good?
And now I'm like, I want to do some